Well, Bill really set the tone this morning when he read that passage. The passage that includes death will be swallowed up in victory. Everyone say that. Death is swallowed up in victory. Victory. And I noticed the songs today, the victory of Christ, the overcoming power of Jesus Christ in our lives. And that's what we want to talk about today, is standing in victorious battle. Standing in victorious battle. Walking in the full armor of God. We fight this spiritual battle with confidence because we know that the victory is guaranteed. But we still have to fight the good fight of faith. And so I'd like us to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. We're to be strong in Christ, not necessarily strong in ourselves, but to be strong in Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And so we're talking about spiritual warfare and we're talking about spiritual victory. And so we go into the battle with all the flak surrounding. I don't know if you sometimes feel like this. I do. All right. With all the flak surrounding us and the ammunitions and the munitions going past our head and so forth and so on, the spiritual darts and arrows and things that are coming at us, we go with the confidence that at the end, we will still be standing victorious in Christ. Verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. We need to put on. We need to consciously put on and wear these pieces of armor every day of our lives. Why do we need to do that? It's clear here. It says so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. If you are a true disciple of Christ, if you are a true soldier of Christ, if you are truly seeking to follow God, you will be attacked by the enemy. He will try to come against you. He will scheme. The Bible says he's a liar and the father of lies. He's the accuser of the brethren. His objective is to kill you. You got to understand that. But again, we have the confidence that we have the victory in Christ. We still need to fight the good fight of faith every day of our lives. We have to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. How does this issue get practical in our lives? It gets practical because it addresses the quality of our life. The quality of our life is not our income. The quality of our life is not the kind of car that we drive. The quality of our life is not the kind of house that we live in. The quality of our life as Christians is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Do you have that sense of rightness in Christ? Do you have that sense of the joy of the Lord in your life? Do you have that sense of the peace of God that passes all understanding in your life? That is the quality of your life. Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. And so this gets very practical. It has to do with overcoming. It has to do with where you live. It has to do with your mind. Has to do with your heart. Has to do with little things like whether you're up worrying at night and you can't get to sleep. Has to do with things like, you know, being beset with all kinds of cares and worries and things and your mind becomes obsessed with things. It has to do with the quality of your life. It gets very, very practical. 1 John 2:13-14 says, I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. The number one issue regarding our overcoming is our relationship with the Lord. The number one issue affecting our overcoming is knowing Christ. Do you know Christ? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know Him so that you recognize His voice? Do you recognize that still small voice? Have you learned to recognize that voice, not audibly with our ears, but in your heart, where He speaks to you? The Bible says, "My sheep hear My voice." Do you know the Lord? This passage from 1 John 2, it says, it talks about knowing Him who is from the beginning. It talks about having known the Father. Do you know Christ? Do you have a personal relationship with Christ? Have you learned to recognize His voice? And so the first issue in our overcoming is staying close to the Lord, abiding with Him, drawing near to Him, walking with Him. It's when we get away from the Lord that we open up ourselves to defeat. The number two issue regarding overcoming is having the Word of God living in us. Having the Word of God living in us. It says, "I write to you, young men and young women, because you are strong and the Word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one." I shared earlier how there was a time in which the enemy was trying to kill me. I was just in this place where I was just wondering whether I was ever going to get over the hump. All right. In spiritual terms, whether I was ever going to just overcome and not just be living in defeat day after day after day. And the enemy would attack me and use my sensitive conscience against me. And he was attacking me with these suicidal thoughts. So then I confessed a suicidal thought. And then I was just a cycle. I was just thinking these thoughts and so forth. And I was at home from work one day. I was pushing a lawnmower. I was cutting grass and so forth. And I was cutting grass and, my mind would be thinking these thoughts over and over and over again. I was at lunch one day and the Lord gave me 1 Peter 5. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. And the God of all grace, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To God be the power forever and ever. Amen. The Lord gave me that passage probably about, 28 years ago. I memorized it on the spot. And it's become part of who I am. And whenever my mind starts getting out of control and all this stuff swirling around me, all I have to do is take up the sword of the Spirit, say that passage, and boom, it blows that out of the water. God has not given you a spirit of fear. See, fear attacks the mind. You start wondering, is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? Things are swirling around. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my marriage? What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to my kids? That is not of God. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And so when you take up the sword of the Spirit, it helps your mind to be firm, to be steadfast in Christ. It helps your mind to be at perfect peace. The Bible says He will keep in perfect peace he whose mind is stayed upon the Lord. All right, as Elder Vance so often reminds us, when you're caught in a fix, Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition present your requests to the Lord. What is the antidote to worry? What is the antidote to anxiety? What is the antidote to all these thoughts in your mind? It's prayer. Instead of worrying about it, pray about it. If you're going to spend time worrying about it, you might as well spend time praying about it. Pray instead. All right? When you're starting to worry, just pray instead. All right? Just pray, pray, pray. So the number two issue regarding our overcoming is getting the Word of God living in us. The Greek word for overcome is nikeo. It's where we get the shoe brand Nike from. Nikeo, Nike. To win a victory or to conquer. When we stay close to the Lord and use the Word in faith, all right, use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, we can't help but be a winner. We win because we have a winning teammate. Who is that winning teammate? It's Jesus Christ. He is the captain of our team. A captain of our team, all right, is not just about words, but a captain of our team says, team, follow me. All right, I'll put you on our shoulder, on my shoulders. All right, the captain puts us on his shoulders and he carries us to victory. And so Christ is our captain. All right, we are winning with Christ. Christ won the battle. He won the war. And Christ is the all-time champion. John 16:33 says, Jesus said, I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. This is what Jesus said. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. See, God wants you to have a big heart. All right, the enemy wants you to reduce your heart to this little small thing. God wants you to have a big heart. Take heart. I have overcome the world. 1 John 5:4 says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Even our faith. It's that little small mustard seed of faith that's in your heart. That's the thing that overcomes the world. Even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. God helps us to overcome. Satan tries to defeat us. The Hebrew word for Satan means adversary. It means accuser. Revelation 12:10 says, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Claim the blood of the Lamb of your life. Claim the blood of the Lamb of your marriage. Claim the blood of the Lamb of your family. Claim the blood of the Lamb of your children and your grandchildren. Claim the blood of the Lamb over your friends. Claim the blood of the Lamb over the church. Claim the blood of the Lamb over your school. Claim the blood of the Lamb over everything and every person in your life, over your workplace, and by the word of our testimony. The word of our testimony. Every day you should get a word from the Lord. It may be something as simple as encouragement or grace or peace or righteous joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. All right. Often for me, it's just, Lord, I just thank you for grace. I need your grace. It might be mercy. Every day get a word from the Lord. And if you can't do anything else, just thank him for grace. I thank you for grace. I thank you for the joy of the Lord. I thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. Because it's up here where the battle is won. And we got to use our word, the word of our testimony, to win in the battle of the mind. And they sold all for Christ. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. What is the major aim of our adversary, of the accuser, of our enemy? Satan's main goal is destruction of the unity of Christ's body. Destroying us, destroying our unity. The more I grow in the Lord, the more I realize this insidious central attack of the enemy to destroy our unity as brothers and sisters in Christ, destroy our unity as a church, to make us less confident in one another, to make us less confident that we don't believe the best about one another. This is one of the things that I ask God for the grace so much more than anything else in my life. The grace to walk with people the grace to share with people. And I'll be very honest with you. All right? God has given me the privilege. God has given me the cross. God has given me the opportunity to walk with many of you, I would say 6 days a week. Because of school. Because of school. All right? All right. Thank you, Ms. Nunez. I'm glad you're saying amen. And I have to ask God for grace, not because of you, but because of me. All right. And I'm being very vulnerable before you right now, because as a principal, sometimes I have to address certain issues. You know, I have to address issues regarding children and so forth and so on. And that's a challenge. It's something that I have to do. It's what God has given me to do. All right? I can remember when I was contemplating, when I first became a pastor, and I was contemplating whether this church, Northgate Community Church, would start a school. I was right here. I was praying before the Lord, and it was with tears. In a sense, it would have been easy to just be a pastor. All right? Because then I have to work with you maybe once or twice a week, maybe three times a week. And I'm not saying it because of you. Hear what I'm saying. I'm saying because I know what it takes. I know we have many tests of our fellowship to be able to walk together. All right? Because when you're dealing with children, you know, issues come up. All right? And if we're going to be everything that God has called us to be, we got to be able to talk together. And that's why those pillars are so important. The pillars of make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That, all right, it's not that we brush things underneath the rug, but if we've got to deal with something, we're going to deal with it in a peaceful manner. We're going to walk together in a peaceful manner. We're going to seek to use peaceful tones. And that's a challenge sometimes. And so that's what I ask God for grace. All right, that God, because I believe God has given us this ministry. God has given us a way to walk together as a church and the school together, because the goal is champions for Jesus Christ to walk together. That's what we're after. And there are going to be issues that have to be addressed from time to time. But it's a good thing. You know, I'm very grateful for a young man, and I won't even say his name right now, who comes to me and he gives so much support and he says, I know this is for the good of my children. I trust you. I believe in what you're doing, even when I might be bringing up an issue. This is for the good of my children. All right. And he communicates that to me. All right. And it just encourages me, because that is the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is that our young people be raised up to be champions for the Lord. So much of this life in the Christian life, it's about our children. It is. If you look at the Word of God, Deuteronomy chapter 6, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. These commands are being upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them. So much of this life has to do with our children and helping them to grow. And we've seen when we let our children go, when we let our young people go, when we let our teenagers go, all right, and we give them this leeway, we give them this freedom, we give them this freedom to go to the things of the world and the music and the socialites that are out there and the movies and so forth and the social media. And so when we give them to go, it captures their hearts. It's our job as parents and our job and my job as a pastor to help us to keep our young people and our children on that narrow path that leads to life. That narrow path that leads to life. We need to keep the boundaries tight. We need to watch over those boundaries. Doesn't mean we're to be harsh. Doesn't mean that we're to speak in harsh tones, but we need to keep the boundaries tight. We need to help them to stay on that narrow path that leads to life. And sometimes it's my job to help us to remember to do that. All right? But you got to know that the purpose, that the goal, all right, is that when they're in their mid-20s and mid-30s and mid-40s and mid-50s and so on, that they are serving Christ, that they're raising up godly families, that they're following hard after Christ, that they're following Him, that they haven't fallen away. That's the goal. And so that's what I ask God for grace. I ask Him for grace so that we can walk that way. And that's the challenge. All right? It says 1 John 2:9-11, the passage right before knowing God and overcoming. It says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Satan's primary aim is to divide us, to work his schemes to upset our unity in Christ. One of the pillars of this church is the bond of peace. The bond of peace. That we will walk in this unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. It's from Ephesians 4:3. It says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. It doesn't mean we brush things underneath the rug. But it means that when we do have to talk something out and work something out, we do it in a peaceful manner. You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament, sometimes you have to compare the Old Testament with the New Testament. The Bible says, rebuke your neighbor frankly. And it's a way of showing love. The Bible says in Proverbs, better the open rebuke than hidden love. What does that mean? Better open rebuke than hidden love. All right? At least you know what you're dealing with. All right? Someone's not talking behind your back. All right? You're talking with a person face to face. Better open rebuke than hidden love. The New Testament says, speaking the truth in love. All right? We have to be able to talk together, not brush things underneath the rug, but help us to walk together and to grow together. Again, what is the purpose? So that we become champions. So that our children become champions. So that our families are champion families for Christ. This is our challenge. This is our standard. This is our responsibility. Psalm 133 says, how good and pleasant when brethren dwell together in unity. And then it gives a very sensational image to share what that is about. It's like the oil that is coming down Aaron's beard. The oil. And it says, for there the Lord bestows His blessing, even life forevermore. See, when we walk in the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, there's a progression. The bond of peace, unity of the Spirit, God's blessing, there the Lord bestows His blessing, even life forevermore. And that's what we want. We want the flow of Christ's love. We want the flow of Christ's life in our lives. The flow of Christ's life. Back to Ephesians 6:12. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The people in our life are not our enemies. I am not your enemy. The people in your life are not your enemies. I'm looking at students when I tell them that. Joshua, I am not your enemy. All right? I'm your best friend, believe it or not. I'm not your buddy, though. We need to be spiritually alert. Our fight is not against people. The battle we fight is not fought with human means. It's not fought with guns or knives or fists or angry words. The battle we fight is fought with spiritual means. And we need to fight this battle with confidence. Is there a reason we can be confident? Yes. When going through spiritual battle with your family, communicate confidence. Recognize when your family is under attack. Your family is under attack when you're starting to feel this hunkering down feeling. You know, it just seems like everything is coming from every which way. Recognize the big attacks. Recognize the little attacks. Communicate confidence when that happens. Be confident because of Christ's victory on the cross. Hebrews 10:35-39 was given within the context of suffering and persecution. It says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a very little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Recently, I had a choice in which I was sorely tempted to shrink back. It might not seem much to you, but, you know, for where I live, the spiritual battle is very much the case. OK, I remember being a principal on two different occasions where I could just see how the school I was leading could just stop. All right, where, you know, it was a couple of different situations with a fire marshal. All right, and we had a situation at Etzion School where we were using this building that didn't have a ground level floor. In other words, the floor that the classes were on was about halfway up a floor, and then there was another floor where the teacher's lounge was, which was halfway below the ground floor. All right, and the fire marshal came in and basically said, we couldn't use that floor for our kindergarten, first and second grade classes, that they had to be on a ground level floor. And I had to admit, I didn't react very well at that point in time. Later on, I went back to the fire marshal and I apologized. But, you know, I had that experience and we worked something out. We had to do a fire walk. We had to do a fire watch. Which basically, from the start of the, we started the school to the end of the school day, we had to have someone walking around looking for fire. Looking for fire hazards, walking through the entire building looking for fire. I had another experience where we were at the facility over on Woodfield Road, and we were trying to get it ready for school. We weren't ready, and you know, there was about 2 weeks left, 1 week left, and someone remembered a certain fire marshal. You know, he said we were just trying to do all this work to get the building ready for school, and I remember just crying out to the Lord, Lord, we need your help, and someone had an idea. I don't know if it was Sylvia, about a fire marshal that had been, you know, seemed to have, you know, a cordial relationship with. And the thing is, we weren't even sure whether we were going to be able to get him in before the first day of school. But then we kept praying, and the Friday before school was supposed to start, he came in at the end of the day, and again, we were able to work something out temporarily with a fire watch situation, and then eventually he was able to work. And so, you know, in my mind, just giving some background how this is a spiritual battle for me, because as a principal, if school doesn't start, that's not a good thing. All right. You know, you want to basically be able to have school. All right. You know, you want the parents to feel confident that when the first day of school happens, they're going to be able to bring their kids. And so a couple weeks ago, when they started barring that door in the front there, and they started, like, you know, putting the wood over it and so forth, and started, you know, they did that on a Monday. I knew that Thursday the fire marshal was coming. And I know how much fire marshals like exits, you know, and egresses. And that was taken away, that exit, and so forth and so on. And I remember I had to get before the Lord, you know, and I almost asked Jim and the builders to just wait until the fire marshal came in on Thursday. But you know, I thought of this passage, you know, to not shrink back, but to stand in faith, you know. And the Lord just encouraged me, just trust me. You know, I'm in this, okay? Trust me. And so, of course, they barred up the door. And then that Thursday, the fire marshal came in. And, of course, we were praying. And I was praying, you know, against the backdrop of my previous experiences and so forth. And came in. And, of course, he saw it. And he was fine. He approved us both as a school and as a camp. You know, every year we got to have the fire marshal come in. And so, you know, that was an experience that I had to deal with, you know, where it just could put front and center, you know, to trust the Lord, okay, that He's watching out for us, to not shrink back, but to believe and trust in Him. The Lord challenges us to trust Him. And this is a challenge to move forward in faith, trust in the Lord. And sometimes it seems risky because it's a step of faith that we're doing. We need to seek the Lord. We need to listen to His voice, that still small voice that we learn to hear. The Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice," and to trust Him to keep taking steps of faith. The word for perseverance says you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. The word for perseverance is patiently endure, to stand through the trial, through the attack, through the insult, even persecution. We need to endure. We need to persevere. In battle, we have two choices, either to shrink back and be destroyed or believe and be saved. We have to walk in faith. And so where you're at, you have to be able to parcel that out. You have to get before the Lord. You got to learn to recognize His voice. You remember coming back to knowing Him. What does it mean, and what you're facing, what does it mean for you to believe and be saved? What is believing and being saved in your situation as opposed to shrinking back and being destroyed? Believe and be saved. We have to walk in faith. The victory has been won. When you are going through the onslaught of the enemy and feeling all the flack, we have to keep our confidence. One of the most important truths that I was ever taught had to do with spiritual fighting. And that is that Satan is not omniscient. Satan is not all-knowing. Only God is omniscient. Only God is all-knowing. Satan does not know what is going on in your mind. Satan does not know what is going on in your heart. And so, we need not show him whether the attack is affecting us. Sometimes his attack may be affecting you. You might be thinking thoughts and, you know, what about this and what about that? But don't show him. Don't show him. Keep your confidence. Don't show him that it's affecting you. And you show him by your words or by your actions. If you start repeating his words, maybe you start repeating his words to other people. All right? Or by your actions, you show that his attack is affecting you. Keep your confidence. In a sense, you have to act. You have to act. All right? The Lord is teaching us, you know, how to fight spiritually. You might inside of you feel all torn up, but you might have to act that you're confident. Maybe you don't feel confident on the inside, but you have to act that you're confident. You have to show, you know, that you, the Bible says in Proverbs, you know, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And it talks about, you know, as water reflects the man. All right. As you're looking into that, you know, mirror, you're looking into that water and you see a reflection. OK, maybe in yourself, you don't feel like you're standing in faith, but you got to project that man or woman that is standing in faith to that image, to that water that's reflecting. All right. And then it comes back. And that's who you are. You may not feel it on the inside. All right. But that's who you are. That is who God is making you to be. Stay confident. Learn to stand confident of the victory in Christ. Ephesians 6:13 says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." It says, when the day of evil comes. Not if, but when. If you are a true disciple of Christ, you will be attacked. On that day of evil, that day of onslaught, that day of greatest attack in your life, what are you going to do? Do you have some of those days? I know Sylvia and I do. Days in which we lose sleep, days of agonizing prayer, days of uncertainty, days of doubt. We all get attacked. Every single one of us. I am not impervious to attack. You are not impervious to attack. We all get attacked by the enemy. In days of tears, days of crying out to the Lord, what have you done to be ready for those days? We need to know our Lord and we need to use His Word. We need to know our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to put on the full armor of God. We need to commit the matter into the Lord's hands. We need to pray about the matter, and having done all, we need to stand. The verb for put on in this verse, where it says, therefore put on the full armor of God, is a different verb from the verb for put on in verse 11. It means to assume. It means to take up. We need to consciously take up our spiritual weapons daily. We need to learn to use spiritual godly weapons. We need to learn to fight with spiritual weapons. We need to learn to use the Word as a sword of the Spirit. We have to use the Word as a sword of the Spirit. Instead of speaking the words of the enemy that are attacking our brain, we need to learn to use the Word as a sword of the Spirit. We need to learn to stand with faith in God. We need to learn to fight with words of faith and actions of love. We need to learn to fight with righteousness and joy and peace toward others. Instead of worrying about that coworker that seems to always get on our nerves. All right? We can say, Lord, I thank You for peace. Lord, I thank You for love toward that coworker. I thank You for words of healing and words of righteousness. We need to be ones that are others focused in helping others through the attack. We need to learn to stand confident of the victory with Christ in our heart and our eyes on Him. And when the smoke clears, we will be left standing. When persecution comes like a flood, the Bible teaches in Matthew chapter 24, when persecution comes in like a flood, it will be an environment of confusion. It will be an environment of terror all around. Amid the confusion and amid the terror, what kind of soldier will you be? The Bible says in Matthew 24 that because of the increase of wickedness in the end times, the love of most will grow cold, and many will be deceived and fall away. But Matthew 24:13 says, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. See, that's what persecution will do. All right? It will create a sense of confusion, a sense of wondering, what are we going to do? We need to be ready to stand with a hot love for the Lord and with the Word of God in our hearts. There will be three kinds of responses or reactions at that point. The Bible says, number one, there will be those that are deceived and go in the wrong direction. Basically, they surrender to the enemy and they say, I can't handle this anymore. Number two, there will be those that stand and trust the Lord and find the right path going forward, the narrow road that leads to life eternal. And then thirdly, there will be those that are clear-hearted and clear-minded on Christ and love others by helping them to find the right way. That's what the Lord is calling us to be. Those that know Christ and love others by helping them to know Him. That's the way we are to go. Not just to get myself in the right path, but God wants you to be one that when there's confusion all around and people don't know which way to turn, that you're helping to shepherd ones on the right path that leads to life. And you're not confused and you're helping others to know the right way to go. How can we be that kind of servant leader for others? We prepare through our relationship with Jesus Christ and studying God's Word. We have to know the voice of the Lord. And how do we know the voice of the Lord? We know it through studying His Word and spending time with Him. At Camp Courage, it is the passion of our hearts to help children to learn to stand courageously. I may not look like it right now, but I was a kind of kid that kids bullied. Growing up, I lived in immense fear. I can still remember the curse words of people. Other kids called me. They used my name and they just added curse words and things that have been emblazoned upon my mind. I lived in utter fear in elementary school, having to anticipate getting on the bus to go home and knowing what would take place to try to get back to my house. And so at Camp Courage, it is a passion of our hearts to teach these children to learn how to stand courageously. The natural reaction to enemies, the natural reaction to fearful situations, is the fight or flight syndrome. A lot of children run away out of fear. A lot of adults run away out of fear. A lot of children and young people, quite frankly, fight out of fear. They fight out of fear. They don't want to be thought to be weak. And they're egged on and they get into fights out of fear. But at Camp Courage, we teach the children to learn to stand. Not run away, not fight back, but to learn to stand. To stand and provide righteous leadership to their peers. I remember one time a neighborhood friend of mine, I was probably in like fifth grade, he was probably in ninth grade, and I was after school and I had to get home and there was like probably 50 kids right in front of the portables. And I was like up on the ramp of the portables and I was facing all these kids. And you know how it is, they get the big bunch of kids and there's one kid that wants to fight the other kid and they're all going to surround and make a big ring and egg them on and so forth and so on. And I was just waiting to go down that ramp in front of all these kids. And a neighborhood boy, I don't even know if I'd call him a friend. He lived a few houses down from me in my neighborhood. I was in fifth grade. He was in ninth grade. He spoke up for me. And he let me get through. And I was able to made it about two-thirds of the way home, and the guy came chasing after me, and I ran home. I made it home. He was willing to speak up for me and to stand for me. And so we teach the kids to not run away, to not fight back, but to learn to stand and be a righteous influence in that situation. To speak up for those who can't speak up for themselves. To help that person. In this passage, the word stand is repeated 3 times just to make sure the point is made. It says, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. This is an important spiritual posture for us to learn. It's an important spiritual posture for our children to learn. To stand for God. I've had to grapple with this issue as a principal. Well, what if somebody is bullied? All right, what do you do with a bully? Well, you hit him back and he won't bully anymore. Well, I have a hard time with that. Okay, I understand that line of thinking. I do understand that. But what we've come on is to learn to teach them to stand. Learning to stand. All right, as I've gotten older, a young person hit me, and I said, okay, he hit me in the face, I gave him the other cheek. He hit me in the other cheek. I told him, Jesus loves you. As I've gotten to be such that they hit me, it doesn't hurt me anymore. All right, I do about 120 crunches a day. I don't care. All right, but when I was a kid, it hurt. All right, but to learn to stand. To learn to stand for Jesus Christ. To stand and see the victory of the Lord. To stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Our salvation, our saving, is our most fundamental victory. We need Christ saving every day of our lives. Every day when I get home, I fall on my knees at my bed and I thank the Lord for saving me. For His grace is sufficient for me. He saves us each and every day. And so we're going to continue on. We're going to talk about all the pieces of armor. But it's important today for us just to learn that we're to stand confident amid the battle. Let's all stand for prayer. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray for each person here. Lord God, we have a commonality because it says you know that your brothers and your sisters throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Your brothers and your sisters throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And so I know that each person here is dealing with some kind of spiritual battle. And Father, I just speak over them, Lord God. I speak over all of us that we would learn to stand confident of the victory. Lord God, that we would learn to stand knowing that you have won the battle and that we can take up the shield of faith. We can take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We can walk in the truth of God. We can walk in truth, Lord God. Walk in that sense of integrity and character in our lives, Lord God. We can have those sandals of the readiness of the gospel of peace, Lord God. Lord God, that we can take up the breastplate of righteousness, Christ's righteousness, and have the helmet of salvation, that you save us, covering our mind, Lord God, keeping our mind on you, Lord God. Lord God, I just pray that you'd help each person here to stand amid the battle, confident of victory, Lord God. Help us to recognize, Lord God, when the enemy attacks. Lord God, help us not to give him any fodder whatsoever, Lord God. Father, help us to know that the enemy attacks our minds. Help us, Lord God, to learn when our mind is spiraling downward and in a direction that we know is counterproductive. And help, I pray that you would help us to arrest that pattern and to not think those thoughts, not to think the thoughts of the enemy, Lord God, but to start confessing your word, using the sword of the Spirit, using the word of God, and thanking you, Lord God. Lord God, I pray that we would not be of those that shrink back and are destroyed, but we are those that believe and are saved. I thank you for belief. I thank you for faith. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit, Lord God. I thank you for faith, hope, and love, Lord God. I thank you for every spiritual blessing in Christ, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day in the Lord.